Streaming video for churches has undergone a significant transformation since the COVID-19 pandemic began back in 2020. Well, we're going to talk about the changes and the future next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
The Church Solutions Podcast is here again. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Well, Steve, before we get into our topic today, we want to remind people that we have a webinar coming up April 16th, and it's called The 10 Commandments of Streaming Video.
All right. 10 Commandments of Streaming Video on the end of it, huh? It's 10 Commandments of Streaming. But...
Well, I'm trying to make it longer. So
okay,
by the time we get to the actual webinar, we'll probably have it like two or three lines longer. All right, I'm being facetious, but we are doing a webinar. And you can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. The webinar is April 16th. It's 12 noon Eastern. It's free. And we're going to go over... Well, we call it the 10 Commandments of Streaming, but this is really tailored for churches and ministries, and we're going to go over kind of the do's, maybe a few of the don'ts when it comes to streaming video, and I think it will be very enlightening for everybody.
Yeah. Something that we've been polishing and honing for a long time.
We have for a long time, because that's what we do here at StreamingChurch.tv. So we are very much involved in streaming video with churches and ministries. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. I think people get a lot out of it. So just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And you can see some of our past webinars by going to what domain, Steve?
StreamingChurch.tv/webinar.
All right. Good deal.
See, the way you remember this is... You put the webinar in front before when you're registering in front of the webinar. And then after you've been to the webinar, you put the webinar word after, and then you can view the webinar.
So
see how that works?
That's logical. Very logical. Yes, sounds like something an engineer would do.
Yeah.
StreamingChurch.tv.
That's how I remember.
/webinar, right?
Yes.
All right.
That
okay.
is true.
All right. So, yeah, we just did a webinar on Easter. So if you have an opportunity to go over there and look at it, we did things about how to get the most out of your Easter service. And the recorded version is pretty good. The live version had we had problems. But we edited all that out. So you'll never know it unless you hear me make references to it, which I didn't edit those out. So.
All right. Okay. So I thought... You said today's the 4-year anniversary, and I thought this was March 15th because that's the date emblazoned in my brain from 4 years ago. But that's a couple of days away for us.
Yeah, the date, March 13th, which is the day we're recording this webinar right now, is the 4-year anniversary of COVID, when COVID was announced as a pandemic. And the 15th, of course, which you're referencing for here, is, of course, a Sunday morning. And that's what we do. A majority of our churches that stream with us Sunday morning. And that's when the wheels came off.
Yes, it was quite unexpected. I mean, all this COVID mumblings have been going on. Actually, I went to a business meeting with a bunch of people on Friday the 13th. And didn't think much of it until Sunday morning, when we had at least 10 times the amount of volume people wanting to watch the services online.
Yeah.
We had the prior weekend.
I remember reading about something earlier in the week. In fact, I think you and Paul, we were meeting with Paul, who was our consultant at the time?
Paul Bellows.
I remember, I think we met with each other on a Wednesday, and I remember saying, hey, you know, there's talk about this thing becoming a pandemic, and I think it's a pandemic. And yeah, anyhow, we won't rehash all
yes.
that.
Yeah. It was quite a stressful day, not only because of that, but later in the day, The next day, I was scheduled to fly to the Caribbean for a vacation.
That's right.
And my wife and I are going, should we go? Should we not go? And we decided not to go, which turned out to be good because there were a lot of people that had gone on these trips and then couldn't get back home for months. So anyway,
Yeah.
doesn't bring back pleasant memories, but that was so we're going to talk today about life streaming, church streaming prior to the pandemic, during the pandemic, and how things have changed in the past 4 years.
Yes. So let's just jump into it. So Lifeway Research did a survey that said they found that pre-pandemic, only about 22% of churches were streaming their services, which I thought there was a little more than that, but they have 22%.
That's consistent with what I was thinking. Oh, that was right around there.
Yeah. And of course, when the pandemic hit and doors were being shut and don't meet, and do all that stuff, that skyrocketed to 97% within the next months of COVID-19. Again, this is all Life Research. So that's where everything just kind of jumped. And I remember, Michael Gray came on with us. We knew Mike for years, and Michael came on to help us with tech support and helping these churches. The phones were ringing off the hook, and it was hard for people to get equipment. Those that were a little bit late, they had a problem getting equipment.
And then one of the companies that we had partnered with and integrated some of our stuff with one of their encoders discontinued that encoder like that week. It was like the worst timing in the world. They had no idea that COVID was coming, but they were because had they not discontinued that product, I mean, they would have sold bazillions of them because they're very affordable. And but they decided, nah, we're getting out of this lower end market. And yes.
They were upgrading. They had other products. They have live and look, we'll just we won't say who they were, but their initials are Epiphan. And oh, wait a minute. So Epiphan, yeah, the Webcaster 2 or whatever it was got discontinued. So people were scrambling and they couldn't get that at a reasonable price. And look, Epiphan's good. Don't get, we're not trying to trash them. I mean, they're really a good company and they have good products, but they dropped the Webcaster 2 at the wrong time.
Right at the time we had partnered with them, so we were offering free webcasters.
That's right.
So, but they were not to be found.
They were none
So,
to be found. Unless you went on the internet, you could pay three or four more times. Maybe not that much, but you had to pay more. There were some people that had them, and they were double the price or so, maybe more.
yes. Oh, what fun. So, yeah, that was, I mean, we went through this where the churches prior to COVID were kind of say, hey, wow, this streaming thing can work. I can do ministry online. I can get new people to my church. And, 22% of the churches had adopted that. It wasn't, I guess, the most simple thing to do, but about 22% of the churches are doing it. And then it got to the point where if you didn't stream, you didn't exist. So that was for a long time. So everyone went from, not knowing anything about it to having to do it. And we were one of the few companies serving churches out there. And so that's where we were all hands on deck. Everybody was customer support. Everybody was teaching and helping and getting people going. It was a really crazy time. You would think it'd been just a wonderful time, but it's actually a very stressful time for me because we weren't sure we were going to be able to answer phones. I was, we're getting 300 plus emails a day. Could we even answer the emails? It was just, and we had a reputation to maintain. We had a good set of customers that had been using us for a long time, and we wanted to retain our high touch, high customer support persona. So anyway, it became a very stressful time, at least for a lot of us.
Oh
But
yeah, and of course we were trying to beef up on the server end. We were trying to beef up our servers. And that was a challenge for a couple of weeks as well.
We
And
weren't sure our back-end people were going to be able to, because they were blindsided as well. So nobody saw it coming. So
No, not
anyway.
really. There were a few voices out there, but nobody listened, and it got on us, and there you go. All right, so 22% to 97%, and Church Tech did a report recently that said in 2023, they indicated that 89% of the surveyed churches offered services through what they call a hybrid model, and so that hybrid model, includes live streaming. Well, tell us what a hybrid model is, though, for people that
So,
are,
what happened is everyone went online, and then eventually we started letting people come back through the doors, and everybody thought, wow, this online thing is a pretty useful tool. So, 89% of the churches retained the online ministry as well as the in-person ministry. So that's the hybrid. So they're doing online and they're doing in person.
So it's an important thing, and so that's still going on today, a large number of churches, which makes sense, right? Because as we've talked about here before, I mean, everybody's online. Jesus went to where the people were, as I like to say. And back then, it was the temple, synagogues, and different parts in the city where people gathered. And people are gathering today online, and so it makes sense to still be streaming online.
Yeah, and I think kind of one of the things that we were promoting and encouraging churches to do is you can do ministry online. And the other biggest part of it is the lowest resistance front door that you'll ever have. So it's where people are checking before streaming, they were checking you out your website and maybe looking at some past sermons, but now people are attending online because they can attend and figure out probably within the first 10 or 15 minutes online whether this is a good fit for them or not. And then they'll go, well, that was not too bad. Let's go see if they do the same kind of thing next week. And they'll attend online again. And so the churches are finding, wow, these people are showing up and they know our gig. They're not completely brand new to this church. They've been coming for a while, but they haven't been coming in person.
Yeah,
So
when you say limited resistance, in other words, it's just much easier when you say, "Hey, instead of come to my church with me, or come to my church and show up and maybe be feeling awkward and embarrassed or humiliated," now you can just click on a link and you can check it out, and if you don't like it, you can shut it off.
That's one of the key differences as well. If you're going to show up and walk through the door and you figure out, that this isn't for me, it's really hard to stand up and walk out on the middle of a service. I mean, you're not going to do that, as I've mentioned to you before, but one of my good coworkers that I worked with said one of the most uncomfortable times he's ever had was in a church. And it was not a good fit. He and his wife went, and he wanted to crawl under the pew, and but he couldn't leave.
I mean, maybe he could, maybe he couldn't. I don't know. I mean, I've had
I mean, you
people.
could, but it's socially unacceptable. Some people go, whatever.
I've had people walk out on me when I was speaking. Big surprise, right? I've had that happen. But the funny part about it is I remember one specifically happened a few years ago when I was speaking, and I had actually met the couple before they actually, before the service started. And I remember thinking, "Oh, okay, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming." And so how'd you hear about us? You check us out online? And they said, "No, we just saw the sign." I said, "Oh, you didn't go online." They said, "No, we didn't go online." Okay, well, that's fine. And I think had they gone online, maybe our style, music style, and maybe who we were may have given them, I don't know if I want to say red flags, but it might have said, "Hey, I'm not sure I want to come to this church," right? And so, but they didn't do that. They just showed up and then they got up and left. Which, which, It does happen from time to time, but so anyhow, it really makes it much easier. So all right, so people are streaming now. It's the pandemic. It's 4 years ago. 4 years. This is the anniversary on the taping of this podcast. So what's changing? How has I've got a little title here, which I didn't say at the very beginning. By the way, did I say this was episode 422? This is episode 422, and I've entitled this from a niche to a necessity, and the evolution of church streaming. So, we don't usually like to use the word evolution in the Christian circles, but there has been an evolution when it comes to streaming video. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, I think so. And I mean, that's the title just captures it, from niche to necessity. Not everyone feels it's a necessity today, but I think the general public has recognized that it is an asset to the church rather than something that, is not an asset. So
Our churches today, what do you see? How do you see effective churches using this? So they're, and what I'm trying to get at is, everybody kind of was streaming, but now it's evolved,
yeah.
and there's different
And
things happening in the streaming now world. And
right.
how have churches, how have really effective churches, that's the right word I'm using,
Yeah.
effective, but really the ones doing a good job at
Yeah.
it.
We hosted a while back Jason Moore that was talking about, he's written a book that talks about how to fully leverage online streaming. And things have changed in that, prior to the pandemic, you saw a lot of single camera, full service, from announcements, or pre-service, during the service, worship, the whole thing, streaming. And the churches that have been more effective with it have recognized that the audience is not captured in the facility. They can't get up and leave like some of the people that did for you. And so they can leave at any time. And so the churches that have been effective with this have been able to address that audience by doing things like tuning their online service to be more bite-sized, more digestible for the online people. So some of the churches that have done well with this have taken, Jason Moore's advice, where you can do these different approaches to the service.
Well,
So
give me an example of a few.
one
You said
example
bite
would
size.
be, one of the things is, the people that are watching the service want to get to the pastor speaking. They want to get to the message. The worship online is not as moving as it is in person. So, some churches may say, we're just going to post, we're just going to stream the sermon online. So they condense the time requirement down to just the sermon. Some have done pre-recording of the sermon, some have done post-recording of the sermon, and then editing it and then making it available online in a much more digestible fashion. So, I mean, those are some of the things that some churches, not all churches, are doing that, but
Right.
just.
Well, I think too, is there's still a hunger, I think, for interaction, right? I mean, people, they still want to interact with other humans.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing, is that churches have learned that this isn't just a point the camera, turn on the stream, and walk away and do your church services. Churches that are being more effective are doing ministry online, and that means having some of the roles that you have in the church, like a greeter or an usher, that sort of thing, having those available online. So you have online chat, and people can ask questions, and the host can stimulate conversation or reinforce points or whatever it may be.
And they've also put on links. And again, every company, we as a company here, we provide a streaming platform that has chat as well as video. And the churches that use that effectively see more retention. They connect more with their people. There are links. that they have been able to put on the platform for people to, you know, fill out a connection card. We call it a connection card, at least I did from my church, but a place where people can put in their prayer request, a link where people can give online, a link where people can see other activities that the church has going on, blog posts, different events happening. So it's not just a cut and paste kind of a deal, but it's people can watch, but they can also interact with each other and get to know people.
Yeah. Churches, the ones that are doing it well, recognize these are real live people watching. And so they treat them as real live people and interact and connect and try to connect, provide opportunities for connection, and then follow up with people as, you know, after they leave the service, the same kind of, you know, things that you'll get with people that come in person. You'll get the same kind of thing with those online. They'll try to connect and form a relationship.
And then also the technical things involved with streaming video, since people were desperately trying to do something in 2020, have kind of evolved as well. I mean, there's cameras. I mean, the cameras have been around for a while, but there's the PTZ cameras that have gotten much better. They're just so much better now than they used to be. So they're easy to use for the most part. One person can use three or four cameras if it's a PTZ. There's live encoders that have come on the market the last several years that are easy to use, and you can do lower thirds. You can, there's graphics. There's always been these things, but I feel like it's becoming more and more prevalent now because it's not just point the camera and shoot the video, right?
Yeah. I think it's become easier too. I mean, that we definitely see fewer problems with churches that are streaming than we did, you know, 4 years ago or even longer. I think standards for internet have improved. I mean, and they continue to improve. I mean, I was just looking, doing a speed test at my home, and it was like things were downloading super fast. And I went and ran it. It's like 400 megabits per second down. I remember back in the day when 1.5 megabits down was smoking fast.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So that evolution of having a much more robust internet capability, as well as streaming becoming much more commonplace. I mean, more and more people know how it works and how to do it. And the tools have gotten better. The equipment's gotten better. The software tools have gotten better. So it's become easier, I think, over the more recent years to stream.
Yeah, and I think the fact that the younger generation, you know, churches have dropped in attendance wise, but there are younger people that still are interested in spiritual things. And when they do come to a church and they get involved, the younger generation, just the tech world is for many of them much more of a fit than it was for people like our age, you know, years ago or whatever.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And everything's becoming much more digital and much more mobile, as well. I mean, the days of buying tickets to stuff and having the tickets mailed to you or having to print them out, or, you know, that's gone by the wayside. And it's kind of interesting, the whole QR code thing, because when QR came out, all the nerds jumped on it and like, oh, this is awesome. And they kind of had a rise, and then they went away.
Right.
Went away for a real long time, and now they're back.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't go to a restaurant and not have to pull out your phone and pull up a menu with the QR code or.
Yeah, you can do that. I remember when we did go to restaurants during the pandemic, or at least shortly afterwards, you know, many of them didn't have menus. And so they did have a QR code, so you could pull up the menu, and that was how you got your menu.
Yeah. So the whole digital first is really taken root. So.
Yeah, it really has. All right. So let's wrap some things up here. So what do you think, you know, look into your crystal ball, if I can use that term loosely. What do you think is the future for streaming video for churches, and how is that going to change, and what other tools might be available for these churches?
I think that I mean, it's already much more commonplace, and I think it's going to be the questions are not going to be, or is your church streaming? It's going to be, what tools are you using? Well, how are you streaming? Where's your, have you staffed your online ministry? Are there people focused on that? So I think there's going to be more and more. It's going to become much more the norm that of the, this idea of like an online pastor, even if it's a lay leader, is going to become more and more common as a recognized spot that's needed on your lineup for your church. So for all the church staffing positions.
And you would also include the hybrid. I mean, hybrid's not going away.
Yeah, I mean that's I think the hybrid's not going away, so you've got to you can't just let it meander on its own. You've got to feed it. You've got to inject some life into it, which means putting people towards it and continually improving it. So it's got to be a focus because I think it's the it is I mean, it's the two greatest assets I think is it's an on-ramp for new people. And it's a way to do digital ministry where you've got people that are either are not located close to the church or they can't come on on the weekends. And this is this is their way of participating. Or and a lot of it is people that are that will come, but the baby's sick. And normally they like, ah, we'll go get it. They'll go to great lengths to get to church. Now they'll go, I'm just gonna watch online. So there's a lot of, your church members that are watching online. They're gonna come back next week. But if there's something going on where, hey, I gotta do this before or after, and I've got to be home for this, then I'm just gonna watch online. I mean, that's really common. And that was an unrec a person that was, I mean, a lot of pastors may have a problem with today. But more and more, it's becoming the norm, and people accept that. Hey, if you can't get there, go online. We'll ministry online as well.
Yeah. And one last question for you, which doesn't necessarily, well, I think it could affect streaming video. AI. How do you see AI continuing to evolve in the area of streaming ministry, as also other areas of the church?
I see AI a lot like the beginning of the internet or the beginning of radio or the beginning of television. At the very beginning it was this brand new thing, and I see it as an opportunity for churches to leverage and make their ministry better, be more effective. So I mean, and as with any technology, you gotta be careful and put some safeguards in place. But the same kind of scary stuff you heard about the internet, oh my gosh, you have your name on the internet? How can you let your name? I mean, there was a time back in that would have been early 2000s where you were just that was crazy to put your name out there on the internet. And then 5 years later, it's the norm. I mean, with you got your first and last name on your Facebook account, and that's just the norm. And so I think we're going to go through a phase with AI where there's a lot of fear and trepidation, and I think people are going to kind of see the value and move towards leveraging it. And not to say there's not danger with it. There's danger with putting your credit card on the internet back even today.
Even
So
today,
yeah, even
right?
today, but even way back then, the things that used to grab a lot of attention as really scary are not are commonplace now. And I think the AI is going to go through that. It's going to take several years.
It's just, you just can't stop technology from moving on, and you can try to resist it. You can try to hide out and not use it. And you can do that maybe individually wise, but if you're really trying to do a ministry and reach people, you have to embrace technology because that's what it is. And all the way back to the printing press and everything else, and if you don't embrace it, you're going to be, you're not really, you're missing opportunities to reach people and connect with people. That's my take on it. So,
Yeah, I agree.
yeah. All right. Well, look, we're pretty much out of time here. It's been a pleasure. I thought it was good to talk a little bit about this because, hey, it's been 4 years since that we got news of this pandemic, and it changed everything. And it still has changed people and changed the way we do things today, and the way we do church today, and the way we do ministry and other things too. So I think that it's good to talk a little bit about this and reminisce a little bit and look forward to the future. So we're done here. Thank you so much for your input. Always good.
All right, glad to be here.
And of course, we always appreciate our people watching or listening to the Church Solutions podcast. Hey, give us a rating. Subscribe to us anywhere you get your podcast. Just do a search for Church Solutions Podcast. And as always, if we can help you and your church in any way, please reach out to us. You can always just go to us, streamingchurch.tv, and we'll be happy to help you. So on behalf of Steve Lacey and the whole team here at our company, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Please take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode.